Okay, hello everybody and welcome to episode 6 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony
and Lou, as always. Welcome back, Tony. I'm sorry to hear that you're feeling a little bit under the weather.
Yes, I may sound a little congested today because I do have a cold and a sore throat, but I'm here and I'm ready.
That's good news, and I'm drinking while you were talking, which is why I did not come back right away there. All right, so again, I'd like to thank Yvonne for another email last week. She was digging my Kevin Covias impersonation, and then she also let us know that he's actually going to be in 2 movies coming out. And I could only find info on one of them, something called Labor Pain. So, Yvonne, if you're listening again, please let us know what the other one
is. Hopefully those aren't singing roles.
hopefully not. Although, there have been worse people on American Idol.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, we will. We will get to that. But keep those emails coming. Remember, you can send them to podcast@pause.com. And as always, remember to listen at the end of the show today for our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. So let's get right into video games. We're going to try to keep this a little bit short again because we've got a lot to talk about both in TV and movies.
Oscar talk.
That's right. Well, with the Oscars coming up. So I'm still playing 2 things that I've been playing, which are I'm still playing Retro Game Challenge on the DS and Saker 2 on the PC. Retro Game Challenge is really cool. If you like those old games, definitely check it out. I cannot believe, you know, it's so often that you buy a game from somebody and you don't know what to expect, and it's disappointing when it's not great. And that's one game. These people have come up with like 6 different games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like there's a shooter, and then there's a platform game, and then there's a racing game. The racing game's absolutely the hardest, and there's some funny stuff with that too. So then there's another shooter that's more advanced, you know, different kind, like a second generation shooter, and an update of the platform game and an update of the racing game that mocks how when games were used to be popular in the arcades and a game was slowing down, they'd change like 1 or 2 things and then put a new name on it so that people would go and play it again. Right. And that's pretty much what they did with the second version of the driving game. It was almost identical to the first one. It was really funny.
Think that was intentional?
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it was. And then there's an RPG that's similar to the RPGs that used to be like on the classic Nintendo.
Right, and, like Zelda.
Yeah. And they're fun games too. The racing game I'm not crazy about because it's just too hard. But the other games are all very well done. So hats off to Exceed for that. And like I said, I'm still playing Sacred 2. What about you?
Flower came out last week for PlayStation 3. Flower it was such enthusiasm.
I was drinking again. I'm sorry.
You're drunk already.
It's a Coke.
Flower came out last week for the PS3, and there'd been so much hype surrounding it that I thought I would give it a try. Some of the stuff I had read about it was that it's not like a normal game and that it's very environmental. Like, it's more about the mood that it brings up when you're playing it. Like, it's very relaxed and like it's almost, you know, like, you could take a little break from your shooter and play this and, you know, but I have to be honest, I mean, while it's beautiful, it's done in kind of a painterly way.
Right.
I'm not really getting that relaxed. Like, I'd want to sit there and
chill out with it.
Yeah. I don't get any Zen feeling from it. I
mean, what do you do in the game?
You start out as a petal and you collect more petals by going over other flowers, and then you bloom other petals, which open up new trails, and you know, each level is different. So there's one where there's a lightning storm, and there's one where, you know, you're changing the colors of the fields.
Okay.
But while the music and the whole atmosphere is beautiful, I'm just not getting the, you know, when I sit down and play a video game, you know,
right. I want to play something that's fun. Yeah. Well, no, what was the game that you were talking about either last week or
Pixel Junk Eden,
which I was going to say, it sounds like there are some similar concepts.
Yes, but
in
this
them.
Is much more realistic. Pixel Junk Eden is just like, it's very 2-dimensional and it's just got 2 or 3 colors.
I see.
Whereas this is like, you're actually, well, the controls, first of all, the controls, it uses the motion sensitivity of the controller. So you kind of like turn the controller to steer, I guess.
Right.
And the button is like a burst of wind.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So, if you're just sitting there and you don't
usually
press
you have
button,
to pull a finger for that. So that's actually pretty handy. I'm sorry.
This is
the third great episode of our podcast.
So, you know, you're going over rolling fields, and just because you can steer in any direction,
right.
and it's very three-dimensional, you can, you know, you can go high, go low,
yeah.
you know. You could go through blades of grass. I mean, you go low enough that you're
But the
like,
point is that it sounds like you don't really think it's that much fun. Is it kind of boring?
Yeah, I guess I would say I'm a little bored by it.
Yeah.
I keep playing it. I want to get through it.
Right.
And now, you know, apparently there's like secret areas when you open certain flowers. And
yeah.
Like,
you know, I miss that in video games. I miss like all the cool secret stuff. I mean, that's one of the things I think that really made Nintendo was in Super Mario Brothers. There was just so much stuff to find that was not, you know, that was not obvious.
Right.
All the secret little areas and all that kind of stuff. And I think that that's really one of the most fun aspects of a lot of video games is finding things that you are not directly steered toward. There don't seem to be as many games doing that these days in general.
I don't know. I think games have just gotten so massive that, like, you know, there's already so much to see that to add little, you know,
yeah.
secret areas is like, I mean, there certainly are, you know, games that have that.
Right.
But
I know what you're saying, but I think that that would almost give them more reason to be able to do that. I think part of it, too, though, is that it takes so much to get a game done and good and out on the market that a lot of developers probably are not willing to spend the time and energy putting that extra stuff in. But
right.
in again, going back to Super Mario Brothers, it was such an integral part of the game because
right.
there was so much stuff that could happen, and it really changed the way you would play the game because a lot of times there were power-ups and things like that that you could only get by going into those secret areas.
Right. Well, you know what? Then you would really like – there are areas of Little Big Planet that have that as well.
Oh, really?
Little secret areas.
Yeah. See, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Now is Flower one of those downloadable games?
Yes.
And is it free or do you have to pay for it?
No, it was – ooh, how much was it? I want to say it was $10.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not too expensive though.
No.
Although, you know.
But like I said, I mean, it's a diversion, and it's enjoyable. I mean, like I said, the scenery and the music's great, and it's you don't die in it, so there's nothing really, like, stressful about it.
Right.
I mean, which I think is the whole point of the game.
Right.
But
and I'm just going to say there are modes like that in Bejeweled Twist. So if you want to play without dying, you can do it. Still trying to get you to play that. It's not going to happen, is it?
Not anytime soon.
Oh, no. And then tomorrow, something good coming out tomorrow?
Yeah, we have the Legendary Cars Pack for Burnout Paradise, which is what we mentioned, I believe, in our first episode.
Yeah.
It's kind of the take on the Hollywood cars. You have the Knight Rider, the Ghostbusters car, the car from Back to the Future, and the General Lee.
The General Lee, sure.
And
which does not come with Daisy Duke.
No, it does not.
I don't think there are any drivers in the cars in Burnout Paradise, are there? The motorcycles have riders, but I don't think there. I don't think you ever actually see a driver in the car, do you? Well, no. What about the ones that are convertibles? Do they have drivers
I've
in
never
it?
I've never noticed.
I can't remember now.
But
yeah, so that should
pack,
be fun.
Yeah, the whole pack is, this is not a free update. This is an add-on pack. So the whole pack is $7.99, but you can buy the cars individually. The DeLorean, or the Back to the Future car,
right?
That's $3.99, and the others are $1.99. So obviously they see which one is the most highly anticipated.
And they're not official, right? I mean, it's not actually...
No, they're not. They're given just, other names.
Right, right. Because they're just homages
right.
to those cars. But still, that should be pretty cool. The only other thing I want to mention in video games is I got the weirdest spam from GameSpot. You know, every once in a while I get emails from GameSpot. And they're pretty much always about video games. This week, I got an email from them trying to sell me car insurance from the Hartford.
What?
Why would you send video game website subscribers an email selling them car insurance?
Now, it was like the return address was GameSpot?
Yeah. It was, you know, GameSpot partner emails. And it was for car insurance from the Hartford.
Times are tough.
Yeah, apparently they are. So I immediately canceled my subscription to GameSpot after that, because I don't want to receive that kind of junk. I get enough of that kind
right.
of junk mail without having people send it to me on purpose. That was annoying. Do you have anything else you want to talk about in video games?
No, like you said, we have a lot of other stuff.
So. All right, cool. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back to talk about TV. Okay, we are back, and we're going to be talking about TV now. Where do you want to start with?
Let's start with Heroes.
Okay. I thought it was another good episode.
Yeah.
It was, you know.
I just keep waiting for them to drop the ball, though.
why do you say that?
I don't know. I've just been so disappointed in the past that, yeah. I don't know. I won't say anything negative.
What? You can say something negative if you want to.
I am looking forward to the next week, though, where, well, first of all, what happens in this week that just passed.
Yeah. So if you didn't see it, there were a couple things. Claire has been getting text messages from somebody called Rebel. Now, apparently in the world of Heroes, text messages work differently than they do in the real world, and there's no way to see who actually sent them.
Right.
No phone number, and you can send anonymous text messages in the Heroes universe. Strange, but true. And so she's been getting these messages, and you can reply to them too, which is great. I don't know how the cell network knows where to send the messages since there was no phone number or name attached,
right.
But whatever, you can reply to them. So she's been getting these text messages from somebody named Rebel. And the Rebel person told her to go and rescue a guy from a comic book store. And so she goes and warns this guy, and he was, this is one of the things I hated, is he looks up and looks at her and he goes, a girl in a comic book store. Come on, hasn't that been done a million times already? But anyway, so she convinces him when her dad shows up to, you know, abduct him or something.
Okay, here was my complaint. This is where I think they're kind of scraping the barrel now.
I think I know what you're gonna say.
His power was ridiculous. He could breathe underwater. Like,
that's dangerous.
That's ridiculous.
Okay, that's dangerous. He could take a weapon of mass destruction into somebody's bathtub and they would never know he was there. All right?
Oh my God, some ridiculous powers must be coming up, because I mean, there's nothing. What would you even do with that? I mean, other than,
well, you know about the guy next week, right? His the new guy next week whose power is,
you're making stuff up.
Okay, see, you ruined it. Now forget it.
But speaking of next week, what I was getting at?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you didn't get to this part, but the guys end up kidnapping Claire's father.
Right. It was Matt Parkman and Peter Petrelli, and then Mohinder. I don't know why they still hang out with that guy, to be perfectly honest. But so they kidnap. Well, Claire outs her dad to her mom.
Right.
And tells
mom,
her,
dad is gay.
No, that's not what I meant. She tells her mom that he's still been, you know, abducting people and still doing the same kind of work, right, and everything. And so she gets mad and she kicks him out of the house.
Has she had some kind of stroke or something?
She's always looked like that.
Something wrong with her face.
I don't like to make fun of the way people look.
Starting when?
Right now. No, she's always looked like that. She's always kind of talked.
Yeah, wait till we get to Idol. We'll see if you don't make fun of the way anyone looks.
Hey, clothes and their looks are not the same thing. Yeah, so then the mom, you know, Claire's mom kicks her dad out of the house and he goes to stay at this hotel and he's getting a drink at a bar and he gets all woozy, and it's because Parkman
and roofied.
He got roofied by Parkman, Peter Petrelli, and Mohinder. Now, I sometimes in shows like this, I get annoyed with those kind of scenes because it's like, first of all, even if they knew that he had been kicked out of the house and even if they knew where he went to stay, how would they have gotten the roofie in his drink?
Well, the bartender was in on it.
She was?
Oh, as a bartender, we're easily paid off.
Is that true? Is that true?
No.
What's your special power?
No, I mean, I don't want people to think that. A couple bucks, I'll roll roofie.
God. Oh, no. I have a feeling right now law enforcement is being called in.
I'd like to retract that comment.
Yeah, I think you should. So, but it was a good episode, I thought. And there was something else that was weird about it. Oh, I didn't buy the comic book guy driving a VW convertible. What was that?
It's a chick car.
It's a total chick car. And it's an old chick car, too. And it was red. I don't know. Stuff like that.
They drive a red car.
But it's not a convertible rabbit.
No.
Oh, that was silly. But anyway. But yeah, it was a pretty good episode.
But as I was teasing at the beginning.
Yes.
I don't know where I'm going with that.
I don't either.
Next week with Claire's dad, we finally find out, or so they say, we find out whether he's good or bad.
Yeah. Do you think he's got powers? I think he's got powers. I think he's got powers
in that
we're going to see finally what his powers are.
He can breathe underwater.
He can breathe out of water. That's his power. what do you think of Siler's sidekick?
I love it.
Yeah.
I think it's just enough comic relief there that it doesn't take away from you know,
yeah,
the seriousness of Siler.
Yeah. Man, that guy has some serious eyebrows.
Who, Siler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if those are fake.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
They look like they might be Sharpied in. I'm just saying, they're so big and so thick. Do you think he was cast for Spock in the new Star Trek movie just because of his eyebrows?
I certainly think his
appearance
has something to
do
with
it. Oh, my gosh. He looks
certainly
so much like Leonard Nimoy did when he was younger.
Yeah.
I'm really looking
nose.
Forward to
except
that.
Except for the nose.
Yeah, right. I'm really looking forward to that movie, though. I hope it's good. So, yeah, so Heroes was good. Chuck, also good this week. I'm so glad that it was back to classic Chuck. It was kind of a funny episode. Chuck and Sarah had
now,
to...
Now, when you say classic Chuck, you mean back to the first season last year.
back to the last episode before the 3D one. But so Chuck and Sarah had to go and live out in the suburbs and pretend to be married because they were one of their agents had gotten killed and they had to sort of assume his cover.
Uh-huh.
And so it was funny because Andy Richter and Jenny McCarthy and some other people were some of the neighbors in the neighborhood, and two former
Chicago residents.
Exactly. Andy Richter, as a matter of fact, when I was going to college at Columbia, was the guy who would check out cameras in the film cage.
I remember that.
And Jenny McCarthy is from the South Suburbs, right? From like Orland Park area or something like that? Oak Park or something like that, yeah. So they go and they live out in the suburbs. And it's, you know, is kind of typical Chuck moments where there are moments there where he and Sarah are acting and feeling like more of an actual couple. And those moments are always kind of fun. They think of ways to do them, I think, that make them not get as old as they could be already.
Uh-huh.
But they were really cute. And Jenny McCarthy was trying to seduce Chuck into cheating on Sarah with him, you know, because, she thinks they're married. And it was funny because Chuck kept referring to her as the crazy cougar lady, which was kind of fun. But it was another really good episode. What did you think of The Office this week, this last week?
It was great again.
Pam and Michael go to the, what was the branch? Nashua? Is it Nashua? I think it was Nashua.
Okay.
The Nashua branch where Holly works now because he wants to get closure with Holly. And she's got a boyfriend. And so he can't give his lecture because he's too worked up. So while Pam is trying to give the lecture to this room of people who want to have nothing to do with them, he goes and breaks into Holly's computer and finds a letter that she wrote to him and downloads it onto his memory stick. And then Pam reads it and tells him that that according to what she read, it's not over yet between them. But I have a feeling she was lying about that. But the funniest, some of the other funniest parts were that Jim and Dwight, you know, finished Kelly's birthday party. I love the chiclet on the cake and how that was the theme of her party. And I love Dwight waking her up from sleeping under the table after
with garbage can lids.
God, so ridiculous. All right, let's talk about Lost. What did you think of last week's Lost?
I don't know. I'm a little scared with how it's going to go now with the Daniel Faraday's mother at the end.
Yeah, I kind of don't get that. Like the way that they did that show, when they all go in and start talking to her, they made it seem with the music and the pacing and the editing like it was a huge deal that this woman was there. But what's the big deal?
Yeah.
Okay, so they found Daniel Faraday's mom.
A little too reminiscent of the Oracle in The Matrix for me.
Oh. I didn't really think about that, but I just don't understand what the big deal is. It's not like we've seen her before and she ties into everything.
Yeah,
I can't figure out. But I'm confused by a lot of the stuff having to do with Jack's father. Like, why is he such an integral part of what's going on the island?
I don't
get that.
Yeah, like you said, is he supposed to be Jacob?
Yeah, I don't know if he's supposed to be Jacob or what the deal is.
I
did like that he
doesn't he usually just show up right before someone dies?
I don't think so. When they used to show him, when they showed him going to Australia to visit Claire, I don't think anyone died there.
No, but I mean after he, well, that was before he had died.
Oh, since he died, you mean?
Right. Like when people have visions of him, he showed up, didn't he show up?
Why, did somebody else have visions of him?
I don't know. I'm foggy. I got to go back to that.
Oh, you're sick. You have an excuse. What's my excuse? I can't remember.
I'm all jacked up on Mucinex.
I thought that Locke is the only one who's seen him.
Yeah, well, I mean, don't we just kind of assume that he's about to die, though?
Locke?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would guess so. since we know he dies at some point after he leaves the island. I did like,
but I don't think he's dead for good. I'm sure with the whole time.
No, I'm sure he's
space
dead.
Continuum.
Right. I did like how he kind of reamed out Locke for letting what's his name?
Ben.
Thank you for letting Ben turn the wheel, because you know he told him he was supposed to move the island. I thought that was kind of funny. Top Chef was pretty good. Final Four, Stefan, Hosea, Fabio, and Carla, who I never would have imagined was going to be in the top four. But she's, you know, she's done pretty good. She's way into peas.
She's
what can
funny
I say?
Too.
She is kind of funny. But she's weird funny.
Yeah.
Like, Fabio,
but I mean,
to me,
I get it now. I didn't get it when the season first began. And I kind of like, any little thing she says I think is funny, whereas I don't think I would have before I got to know her.
Right. No, I know what you're saying. She just seems a little odd to me, though. Whereas Fabio, to me, is funny. She's just kind of strange funny. But I think you're right. I think she does probably have a better sense of humor than they let on initially.
Right.
And they just made her out to be kind of strange. But
you know, another one of my favorite... did you have something else to say about Top Chef?
Well, I do. I was just going to say that I was pretty impressed with that challenge, too. Cooking for some of the best names in the entire restaurant business in the country. That was really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even work.
Don't you think they should have picked something a little more, you know, what was it? It was like,
but it was up to them.
Peas
it was up to them.
No, those were the choices that they were given by the chef.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It was up to the chefs.
I know. Don't you think that the chef should come up with something a little more exciting than like roasted chicken and potatoes or.
If somebody says, what do you want your last meal on earth to be? If that's what you want, then that's what you want. And I think it was interesting that most of them were simple,
right?
Because that tells you something about those chefs. But I mean, I'm not in the restaurant business, and even I know who Jacques Pepin is, and I was pretty impressed that they got all those people to be there, and that was a cool challenge. This season has had some really good challenges, I thought. What were you going to say though?
Another one of my favorite Bravo shows is back on. Came back on this week. Millionaire Matchmaker. Have you ever seen that?
I have not. I've seen the commercials for it, but I've never seen the show.
It's awesome because it just shows you, for some reason, the people who come, the girl's name is Patty, the one who runs this matchmaking business. And
the one who looks like a member of the Addams Family?
Yes,
okay.
That's her.
All right.
And these people who come to her with all the money, complete freaks, every one of them.
Well, that's why I can't watch shows like that, because it really infuriates me to have it shoved in my face how stupid so many people are. I mean, I see that on the road every day when I'm driving. I don't need to watch it on TV. It's so amazing to me how clueless people are about relationships.
And it really makes me wonder how much of it is real, because some of
these... Is it that bad?
Well, some of these people are just so quirky that... Yeah. I mean, unless they're all just that eccentric millionaire type, but...
Yeah. Did you know Aisha Tyler used to host The Fifth Wheel?
Yes, I did know that.
I never saw it when she was on there.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know. I was just thinking of
from
people.
Nowhere.
I was just thinking of people hosting dating shows, and that just popped into my head. And I was just reading something about her because she's got an HBO special coming out pretty soon. And so I was reading stuff about her, and that was one of the things that I did not know about her. I also don't remember when she was on Friends. Who was she on Friends?
Oh, yeah. She played. Actually, she was on for a few episodes. She was dating Ross, I want to say.
Oh, really? Where in the timeline?
Near the end.
Oh, yeah. See, I stopped watching, I think.
Last couple years.
Yeah, I kind of stopped watching. It got to be too much for me.
It got ridiculous.
Was it bad towards the end?
Well, I don't remember her.
No, I don't mean her. I mean the show in general.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
Oh, was it? Yeah. I just, once, I got kind of sick of the whole, like, Monica and
Chandler
thing and... I don't know.
Oh, well, then later it gets into where Ross is in, you know, Ross wants to get back with Rachel, but then Joey falls in love with Rachel.
What?
Yeah. Oh, it gets terrible.
See, that's just stupid.
You know what's really weird? Have you ever stumbled across one of those episodes now and tried to watch it?
No.
It's so dated.
No.
It's painful.
No, I have not done that, fortunately. All right. Well, I think it's time we start talking about American Idol.
Okay.
So, last week, of course, the end of Hollywood week, and we find out who the top 36 are.
Ridiculous. I hate that whole episode was so unnecessary. Don't
you
agree?
Well,
I hated it.
Yeah, I kind of liked that they did the thing where they made some people sing, but I kind of wish they would have made everyone sing again. Because I don't think it was fair for them to have to do that. Plus, the people who they were unsure about and made them do the sing-off, a lot of times they were a lot worse than people who they just outright said no to. And of course, the one big example of this is Jamar,
who
was really good every time we saw him, and then the guy gets cut. I just cannot figure that out. And especially with some of the people they put through, why is Tatiana Del Toro in this competition?
Right.
She is a crazy person.
Or the other guy, the guy with the alter ego, Norman and...
Yeah, Norman Gentle and Nick Mitchell. Why is he still here?
Ridiculous.
It makes absolutely no
sense. That whole episode was so unnecessary to me.
And Jamar was cut. I just don't get it at all. And Simon is so mean sometimes. When Christy, whatever her name is, and the other blonde girl, he's like, do you want the pretty one or the one who can sing? It's like, wow, you just insulted both of them to their very core.
Right.
Congratulations on that. And then last night was the first live show and the first time that people are competing to be in the top 12. And it's totally different this year.
I don't like it at all. I know.
See,
I like it.
I
hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it because they put through a lot more. You know, look at how many bad singers we saw.
Yeah, last night was so painful.
I think if they had focused a little more on, you know, not having 36 at the beginning.
Right.
And just going, what did they originally go with, 24?
It's changed a little bit here and there, 20. But it, for years it's been 24. And then they whittled that down to 12. But, last night, and the thing that's weird about it too is, why put through 36 people if you're going to cut 27 of them within 3 weeks?
Right.
That part does seem a little bit weird, but I did like it last week too, where Ryan Seacrest said that they were literally fighting or singing for their lives. And I'm like, really? Are you going to kill the losers? Is there something I don't know about? But so last night were the first 12 people. The first one was Jackie Tone, who, as I said in the blog post,
you know,
last
it was
night.
So painful. Let's not even go through all of them one by one.
Okay.
Let's just talk.
Well, who do you want to talk about? I'll tell you who
let
liked.
Let me just say the one guy.
Ricky Brady, who
we had never seen before.
He was great. He was great.
I
don't think he's going to get through because I think it's easily going to be Danny Gokey. And then I think just because of popularity, I think Anoop Desai is probably going to be the number three.
Yeah, but I think that guy is a contender.
Yeah, I mean, he might come back in the wild card because he had a great voice.
Yeah.
Great voice.
Yeah, and I wonder why they never... Well,
I don't know.
Probably wasn't very interesting as far as, like, probably had no backstory or no...
I'll tell you what I hate, though. I do not like them going up and talking to the family
members. I hated that. I was fast-forwarding over that after the second
one. And did you hear his mom plug brattybunch.com? She's like, go to brattybunch.com. It's like, oh, come on. You didn't just do that. But she did.
Did you go on brattybunch.com?
I did not.
You did.
I did not go on brattybunch.com. Because I was too
annoyed. Let me just say another bit of advice. If you're trying to get through American Idol and you're singing for your life, don't sing a song called Hake Town.
I didn't get that at all. And that was another bad performance. Okay, the first one who was really terrible, though, was, what was her name? Stevie Wright. Little young girl who sang
the Taylor Swift song?
She sang, the Taylor Swift song, You Belong With Me. Oh, my God. I felt so bad for that girl. She obviously was just nervous beyond belief.
She was young. She was 16.
Yeah, but hey, Jordan Sparks was 16 when she first got on the show, and look at her. It was so uncomfortable. You feel so bad for these people because it's so terrible.
God. I felt that through half the show. I thought half of them were that bad.
I didn't think half of them were that bad. Again, I think Anoop was good, but then Casey Carlson. Oh my God.
That to me was the most – the reason that was the most painful because – her singing was bad, but like, what was with the little gestures?
It was so ridiculous. All the little vamping, the little winking at the camera.
You know she's going to get some sort of like Playboy deal or something out of this.
She's pretty young. I guess that doesn't really mean anything. And we already know that she's posed, you know, mostly naked in a bikini anyway. But Amy thinks she should be in Playboy.
Yeah. She's gorgeous.
She is. She's absolutely gorgeous. But although, you know, one of the things that confuses me about that show is sometimes they do way too much with the makeup. Like, I thought they way overdid her makeup last night.
Right.
Well, because every time it was close up on her, it was, you know, Cake City. But, her performance was really painful. And I didn't even think, I don't know, a lot of the people last night who I thought would do a lot better did not do that well.
No. You know what? That's because it's like these people have never watched the show before.
Yeah.
They tell you, Do not sing Whitney Houston. Do not sing Mariah Carey. Although Danny Gokey nailed that.
Yeah.
But don't sing Aretha Franklin and don't sing Michael Jackson. And that's like, it was like more than half the show.
I know. I, not only that, but like you said, do these people not watch the previous seasons? They all talk about how, oh, this has been my dream. I've been wanting to be on American Idol ever since I first saw it. Well, when did you first see it? When you auditioned?
Right.
Because you didn't listen to anything that's happened in the past 7 years. You should not go out there and sing a song like... Like, every little thing she does is magic. You cannot sing songs like that on this
right.
show. You have to sing songs with a good melody because you have to be able to show off your range and your
no
voice.
There's no way to show off your voice with that song.
No.
And then for her to change, you know, the words from her to him, and like, it was so distracting.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you might as well just sing a rap song because that you're going to show off your voice just as well there. But yeah, so I think that, and I thought Alexis Grace, the blonde girl who's very country-ish, I thought she sang really well, but I have a feeling that...
Was that the girl singing the Aretha Franklin song? The blonde hair with the pink?
I'm colorblind. So I know she had blonde hair.
The one who sang like second or third?
She sang second, yeah. She sang Never Loved a Man by Aretha Franklin.
She was excellent.
She was great.
Yeah.
I don't think that she's going to be the girl to go through tonight.
Oh, for sure she will.
I don't think so. I'll bet you anything it's going to be Anne-Marie Boscovich who's going to go through.
No way. No way.
I think she's got more fans.
I will make the bet right
okay,
now.
Okay, I'm just saying I think Alexis deserves to go through, but I think Anne-Marie has more fans.
No, I disagree.
Okay. You can disagree all you want. Doesn't make me wrong.
One of us will have to eat crow in next week's podcast.
Yeah, watch. It'll be Casey Carlson. All the little boys voted for her because
well,
she's hot.
I bet vote for the worst is all over some of these.
Oh, most of them, I would think. I don't know. But yeah. So I think who's going to go through tonight.
You know, don't you think, because they've always had such an issue with vote for the worst, you know, with the whole Sanjaya thing and just letting people go through for so long that were so bad, that the way they're doing it now is totally perpetuating that even more. I mean, they could get half of the people they put through could be bad.
Well, I know what you're saying, but I don't think
I hate the way they're doing it.
I don't think Sanjaya was a result of vote for the worst. I think vote for the worst thinks they have a lot more influence than they actually do. I think Sanjaya was in as long as he was because little teeny bopper girls loved him for some reason.
Oh, I don't think so. I think it's because he was a joke.
Do you not remember the crying girl? Okay. Do you not remember the crying girl? I don't know. There's every single year, even before Vote for the Worst was a glint in someone's eye, there have always been people who have been up until almost the end of the show who should not have been there.
Well,
every year has a Nicki McKibben, okay? That's all I'm saying.
This is just making it even more possible. I hate the way they're... I'm so disheartened this year with this so far. I mean...
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because here's another thing. Okay, so they're going to pick the three, you know...
Right.
From the... How many went yesterday? 12?
12, yeah.
So suppose the next 12 has six that are excellent.
Right.
And only three are going to go through.
Right.
So someone who was not so good, you know...
Right.
From like... yesterday,
right?
You know, someone not can go through, but of the six excellent people from the next group, you know, three excellent singers,
right?
You know,
well, that's what the wild card. Yeah, yeah.
It was so hard for me to get out. Why was it so hard for me to get out?
I'm just glad I was here watching Mucinex. You because I know what you were trying to say. I think
it's
our listeners may be having some trouble right now. No, I know what you're saying. I'm glad they're doing a wild card though, and I'm wondering how that's going to work. Like, is each judge going to get to pick three people to come back?
I don't know.
And then those 12 will have a sing-off like this one. I would think that's how it's going to work. But it is kind of a weird thing because I thought about that last night too. I'm like, well, what if you have one group that everybody's great and one group where everybody sucks? It's a little imbalanced. But it also, I think, speeds things up because there's a lot in the previous years, there's been a lot of times when, you know, people who were not that great were singing for weeks and weeks and weeks and every week. Do you remember a few years
back? Well,
that
could still happen.
Well, not really, because you're not going to see the people who sang last night again for a month.
What?
The people who sang last night are not going to sing again for a month.
Oh, yeah, I guess that would be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, do you remember the redheaded dude from a few years back who sang like old standards like Sinatra and stuff like that?
No.
Oh, it was so painful. He was so out of his element and out of his league. And every week you had to watch this poor kid endure because people kept voting him through because they felt sorry for him. Oh, it was absolutely dreadful. So from that standpoint, I'm glad that they're doing it this way. But yeah, tonight should be interesting. It'll be interesting to see how smart or stupid America is. And every year,
as far as I'm concerned, they should just leave it up to Simon.
I don't think he always gets it right. Do you?
Excuse me. I tried to hold that cough for so long. I think for the most part, yeah.
Yeah, I would say for the most part, but not all the time. First of all, I think it's hilarious how he's just gotten so completely transparent with the fact that he'll vote through any girl who he thinks is nice right. looking. But whatever, you know, he's entitled to, I guess, use whatever criteria, especially because Simon's not in charge right now of who goes on. We are.
Right.
But he does have, obviously, a lot of influence, so. All right, we're going to take a little break, and then we will come back and talk about movies and the Oscars. See you in a minute. Okay, we are back, and it is time to talk about movies. And I am going to be a huge contributor because I've seen nothing in the last week. So
now I expected you to do a little research and see all the animated shorts and live-action shorts.
That didn't happen.
For our Oscar segment.
That did not happen. That will not be happening. I'm not even sure I'm going to watch the Oscars.
What?
No, you know, I probably will watch because Hugh Jackman is hosting, right?
Yeah.
And he's supposedly pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
So I
think that's going to be a nice diversion from all the stand-up comedians that keep getting to do it. That, yeah. Which, for the most part, are okay, but...
Plus, he does a lot of theater.
Right.
And he can sing, right? Can't right. he? Uh-huh. And he's hosted the Tony Awards before, I believe, which is why they tapped him for this. So it'll right. be kind of interesting.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to that as well.
Plus, Amy thinks he's hunky. I think he's probably the number one entry on her list. Not that she actually has a list.
A list?
You know, the list from friends. The list
of three
of,
people that you're allowed to.
Right, right. Yeah. You know who's not on my list? Isabella Rossellini. That was really funny, I have to say. That was one of the great bits
friends, yeah.
from Friends. But anyway, so I got nothing. What okay. about you? Did you see anything?
Yeah, well, first of all, I've got all the, we'll go over all the Oscar stuff. But first, in my continuing effort to see everything Oscar related, I went and saw the last Best Picture nomination that I needed to see.
Which was
The Reader.
The Reader, okay. And that's with Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet.
And who else?
And Ralph Fiennes.
Is
it Fiennes or is it Fiennes?
I don't know.
But if you we'll say Fiennes.
If you pronounce Ralph Rafe, then you can pronounce your last name however the hell you want, as far as I'm concerned.
And I have to say, it was really good.
Yeah.
It was probably at the height of my cold when I, you know, it was, I had to go see it that day or I wouldn't have been prepared for today.
Right.
And the last thing I wanted to go see was like a Nazi movie.
Right.
But, you know, feeling as bad as it is, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. And I thought she was great in it.
Right.
The story, just quickly, is it's a woman who gets involved physically with a 15-year-old boy.
Right.
And pretty graphic
yeah.
for him only having to be 15. I did see an interview with her where she said that they couldn't even film that scene until the kid who plays the 15-year-old turned 18.
Really?
So, yeah.
Like, well, I guess that makes sense.
Well, yeah. But she gets involved in a sexual relationship with him when he's 15.
Because, you know, you don't want another situation like that movie that Kyler Lee was in with her brother where they were making out and who? They were teenagers. Kyler Lee... Do you know who that is?
No.
She was, okay, did you ever see Not Another Teen Movie?
Yes.
She was the lead, the girl who was, you know, the hot chick who was not hot because she had glasses on. Well, when she was younger, her and her real life brother starred together in some movie where they were a romantic couple and they had makeout scenes together. Like, you couldn't have just cast somebody who was not her brother.
You've seen this movie, haven't you?
No, it was in the news because I think she's on Grey's Anatomy or ER or something now. Yeah. And it was in the news last year that I read about that. But that's creepy.
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
We'll YouTube that later.
Yeah. So I'm sure they just didn't want to get in another situation that was like that.
Well, I think there's legal ramifications. I mean, I'm
well, that
sure.
too. Bad publicity and jail time. Both averted.
But anyway, so the scenes for him having to be only 15 were pretty graphic. I mean,
right.
full frontal.
Yeah.
Little jarring, to be honest.
Really? But, I hope you're not going to give the guy a complex now by saying that.
But anyway, so through the nature of the relationship, he would read to her. That's part of their relationship. But yet she was very cold and emotionally unavailable.
Why was he reading to her? Is she blind?
No. I'll be giving away a plot point if I say okay. I don't want to spoil the entire movie.
Sorry, jeez.
But he would read to her. It was part of their, you know, part of their relationship. And he falls in love with her. And it goes on to tell the story about how later, I mean, obviously it was just a short affair. Later, while he's in law school, he goes to witness a trial where some Nazi, former Nazi prison guards are being tried, you know, to go to jail. Sure. And she's one of them. And so, you know, it stirs up all this, like, confusion in him because this is someone that he fell in love with and she
right.
disappeared.
Right.
And now he sees that, you know, she was responsible for the lives of hundreds.
Right.
So.
The deaths of hundreds, I'm assuming you mean.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, unless she had a lot of babies that he didn't know about.
Right. Oh, Mucinex.
Blame the drugs.
Anyway, so it goes on to tell how all of that has, you know, shaped their lives from that point on. I won't give any plot points away.
Right.
But definitely worth a go see. And when we get into the nominations, which is now, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, we'll start with that then. For Best Actress, I certainly think she will win.
Really?
Yes. Not only because she was great, because it was a very understated role. She's very, like I said, she was very emotionally unavailable.
Right.
But she's done horrible things, and yet you feel this sympathy for her.
Now, who is it? Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet.
Right? And who's the guy?
Not Kate Blanchett.
Not Kate Blanchett.
The guy is Ralph Fiennes, but he's not, or Fiennes, but yeah. he's not nominated. Who should have been nominated is the actor who played him as a 15-year-old. His name is David Cross.
And he was not nominated for supporting actor or
no.
anything?
No, and you know, he's in it. I'd say he's in it as much as Rafe is.
Really?
And he was amazing.
God, I wonder why they didn't nominate him.
I don't know. I don't know. He was excellent.
You know, it seems like every year there are, you know, and maybe let's talk about this after. Every year there are movies and people who are nominated to win Oscars who probably should not have done so.
Well, a lot of it is a popularity contest. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, but you know what's annoying about that is the Academy acts as though they're so highfalutin and very artsy-fartsy and everything, but it's like, oh, well, I like this guy, so I'm going to vote for him.
Right.
But let's talk about that after. We'll talk about movies and people who have won Oscars who we don't think deserve them. And maybe we'll see if we can get them revoked.
That could be your next campaign after Saving Chuck.
Oh, God, I got to do that.
I've given you so many campaigns.
I know.
I'll just quickly go through the major categories.
And you're going to say who you think is going to win.
I'll just give my picks. I won't even like read off who they're against.
Okay.
Unless...
I'm glad this is being recorded because then we'll be able to see if you deserve to win whatever pool.
Exactly. Exactly. We'll start with, I did Best Actress already. Best Actor. I really think Mickey Rourke's going to win.
Okay.
I've heard some talk recently that maybe, you know, because he's been such a ne'er-do-well.
Yeah.
For lack of any better word.
Yeah.
That he won't win, that Sean Penn will win. But Sean Penn just won like three years ago.
Why would they not give him an award just because he's a ne'er-do-well? Everybody loves...
Well, because he's been kind of, you know... He's been kind of a troublemaker, and you know.
But everybody loves Robert Downey Jr., and he's kind of a ne'er-do-well.
Yeah, but I don't think he was so, like, a slap in the face. Like, I think Mickey Rourke, you know, pissed off a lot of people.
Oh, okay.
I think all of Robert Downey Jr.'s problems were just, you know, his own.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true.
I mean, Mickey Rourke, let's be honest, Mickey Rourke went to jail for beating his wife.
Yeah, that's not very nice.
No, it's not. So,
yeah.
He has some, like, anger issues.
Yeah, but again, you know, and here's the thing with that. That's a tricky thing to deal with because on the one hand, you don't want to, and we didn't even mention this, American Idol, there was a little scandal this past week because Joanna Pacitti was supposed to, they actually announced last week that she was going to be in the top 36. And then the next morning, they said that she'd been disqualified because apparently she had some kind of relationship with some of the people who are part of 19 Entertainment. Who produces it and puts out the records that the winner, you know, puts out.
Right.
And so it's really difficult, especially on a show like that that's geared towards young people, to say that you're going to call somebody an American Idol if they've got something in their past that's really questionable. But with something like this where it's adult stuff, usually dealing with very adult issues, and again, like you said, a lot of the movies that are nominated are ones that deal with kind of big issues.
Oh, all of them.
So... Like wrestling. So one part of me thinks that, okay, yeah, you shouldn't really give a major award to some guy who went to jail for beating up his wife. And the other part of me thinks, okay, if the award is just for who did the best acting job,
right,
then
exactly.
ignore everything else.
Exactly. And that's what I think they should
do. And I don't know which part of me would win out in that argument, to be perfectly honest.
Maybe those two parts should battle it out in like a cage match.
Okay. That's probably not going to happen. since I have no way to figure out how to actually make that work.
But my pick, and I still think he will win, is Mickey Rourke.
Okay.
We'll see.
Supporting actress.
Supporting actress. That's the toss-up for me. I have not seen Vicky Cristina Barcelona, but all the buzz is around Penelope Cruz.
Okay.
But I have to say, I thought Marissa Tomei was excellent in The Wrestler. But if Mickey Rourke is going to win, she probably won't because, you know, they won't honor the film twice.
Really?
Which, well, you know, they do that. That's stupid.
Oh. See, this is why I don't watch the Oscars.
Whereas if he's not going to win, maybe she will win. Maybe that'll be their way of awarding the film, even though it was never even nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah.
So my pick is Marissa Tomei, but just because I haven't seen the other movie.
Right.
And
are there only two people up?
Oh, no, there's also Amy Adams from Doubt, Viola Davis from Doubt, and Taraji B. Henson from Curious Case of Benjamin
Button. Having seen that, I don't think that was Oscar-worthy. Good performance, fine performance, right. Nothing special,
no.
As far as I'm concerned.
Best Supporting Actor?
You think it's going to be Heath Ledger for sure?
Definitely.
Really?
I think that's the one no-brainer.
Okay.
Well, and that's the Best Picture. I think that's a no-brainer as well.
Oh, you think it's definitely going to be Slumdog?
Definitely.
Yeah. Now, are either of those actors, the leads in Slumdog, up for anything?
No.
God, that's always weirds me out. Or I never understand how you can have something nominated for Best Picture, but not Best Director.
Right.
That I don't get
at all. That's not the case this year, but that certainly is.
Yeah, I don't get that at all.
You know what? Someone brought up a really good point in an interview I heard earlier today with The Dark Knight has been snubbed by all the major awards except for Best Supporting Actor Heath Ledger.
Okay.
But they're nominated for 8 awards total, 7 of them being like technical, whether it be sound or visual effects and all that. All of that stuff coming together was done by the director. So why wouldn't you at least nominate the director?
Yeah, I never can understand that. How can you have a best movie nomination without the director being nominated?
Because without him,
he's the guy,
there's no movie.
Yeah. He's the ship captain.
Right.
So.
Yeah, doesn't always make sense. And especially when a movie wins Best Picture and then another director, you know, wins Best
Director. And you can't even say that it's because the Academy doesn't like fluff films, which, okay, the diehard Batman people want to kill me right now for having said that. But it's a comic
book
movie.
Yeah.
But then again, Gladiator won Best Picture.
Right.
So how you can't even say that. I don't get that.
No, it doesn't make sense. Just a couple little ones I'll throw out. Animated feature, easily WALL-E.
Yeah, what else is up?
Bolt or Kung Fu Panda?
WALL-E.
Yeah,
that's a no-brainer.
Visual effects, that's kind of a toss-up because The Dark Knight would be, you know, my first instinct. But Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah, that was pretty special.
Unless they're going to award that for makeup. But I don't really know
where the line was.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, what do you consider that?
Well, I don't know because I don't know what the process was.
Right. A lot of blue screening of like his face and someone else's body.
Right.
Which would be visual effect. But then there's that scene where he's supposed to be like 17 and he looks 17.
Yeah, I have a feeling that was probably done digitally.
Yeah?
I would think so. Because it'd be a lot easier, I think, to airbrush that digitally and make it look real than it would be to do that with makeup. Because, you know, when you use a lot of makeup like that, a lot of times you can see it.
Right.
You know, and they had some pretty close-up shots of him. And it looked to me to be more of an effect than a makeup job. But I could be totally wrong.
Well, they are nominated in both categories. So.
I could be totally wrong like I was when I saw 300 and I was convinced that all those guys in that movie, their physiques were done digitally. No, they all worked out to get in that shape. Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah.
Unreal.
I know.
I don't have the self-control to stop eating pizza. And these guys look like the toughest badasses on the entire planet.
Right.
That was sickening to me. But anyway.
Did I cover everything? Director, Danny Boyle, Slumdog Millionaire. I mean, I think they just go hand in hand.
Right.
And that's it, unless you want to get into any of the smaller ones.
No, I don't really care about that. So let's talk about movies and actors who've won Oscars in the past who shouldn't have. Because I can think of two right off the top of my head.
Okay, well, I picked one movie and one actor.
Okay.
So you want me to go first?
Yeah, go first.
The movie that won Oscar for Best Picture, and I don't have the year in front of me, but I just to this day makes no sense. The English Patient.
I have never seen that, so I can't comment.
It's terrible.
Really?
It's terrible.
Like actually a bad movie?
Yes. It's just the story is just so contrived, and it's so overly sappy to the point where you're like, they were just trying way too hard.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a sucker for a sappy movie, but this one was just so over the top.
Yeah.
And, I mean, visually it was beautiful, but, I mean, aside from that.
Yeah. For me, the one that I picked is Chicago.
Really?
Yeah. I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
But I did not think, what was the musical I had seen? I had seen some musical right before that,
Moulin Rouge?
Maybe Moulin Rouge, that I thought, which every time I saw a preview for that movie, I'm like, I can't believe anyone would go see this movie. And then one day we were so bored and we literally had nothing else to do. And so we're like, let's just go see it. We'll just make fun of it the whole time. And I actually ended up liking it.
Right.
I thought it was ridiculous, but I liked that it was ridiculous. I could have done without some of the songs, you know, some of the numbers I thought were terrible.
Right.
But visually it was pretty stunning. And I actually liked some of the musical aspects of it.
You know, I agree. My only annoyance of that movie, I didn't like Ewan McGregor's singing voice.
Yeah, it didn't bother me. It didn't bother me. I thought it was all right.
By the end, it was like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
I like him. I just didn't like the way he sang.
Yeah.
You know what? I won't disagree with you about the Chicago thing. It was a good movie.
It was a good movie. And that's
Best picture of the year? No.
Especially because a lot of the scenes to me seemed very much like they couldn't figure out how to translate it from a stage type of performance to the screen.
Right.
And they looked like they just, you know, might as well have just set up a camera in a stage theater somewhere.
Yeah. No, that's true.
And I was kind of disappointed by that. Plus, I just don't like Renee Zellweger. So, you know, I got an
even before her, even when her eyes were open?
No, I don't think that's ever been the case. I honestly don't think that's ever been the case. So I didn't get it. Didn't get it at all. Could not understand for the life of me why that movie won the award.
I can't disagree with you there.
And I didn't like Catherine Zeta-Jones' haircut, but...
Well, that was part... I mean, that was...
That's fine. I can still not like it. I'm allowed to not like the damn haircut. All right.
And was that your other pick, Catherine Zeta-Jones?
No.
Oh.
No.
No,
because I do like her.
Okay.
So.
My pick, actor I think should not have won the award, Helen Hunt, As Good As It Gets.
Okay, Helen Hunt should not be given an award for anything except most annoying pancake face. Because I have never seen her in anything where I liked her. I can't
think
of a single thing.
She was
grating in that film.
Yes. Yes.
I don't get it. I also don't get movies like that. I mean, come on. She never would have gone out with that guy.
No.
Her character would never in a million years have dated Jack Nicholson's character. Jack Nicholson would have had better luck getting, I can't remember his name. I can't remember his name now. Greg Kinnear's character to date him than Helen Hunt's character.
Yeah, that whole movie.
She's just, you know what it is? She's just so sour all the time.
And especially in that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't like it.
No. I thought the film was okay in general, but I didn't get that at all. Okay, for me, the person that I picked is Nicole Kidman for The Hours.
Oh, we'll disagree here.
Absolutely hated that film.
I can't believe you hated that movie.
Okay, it was a movie about nothing. There was no story.
It was three lives that in three different eras.
Okay.
That were very parallel.
Okay.
Suffering the same.
That's a structural basis. That's not a story. What was it about? You know what that movie's about? It's about the fact that lesbians throughout history have been upset. I could have told you that. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Oh, here's another demographic that you're going to upset.
Hey, I don't have anything against lesbians.
I apologize to my lesbian friends.
I have friends who are lesbians. I don't have anything against lesbians. I just didn't see the point of that film. And plus, it's like, you know, I can just imagine the pitch meeting. Look, so Nicole, if we put a fake nose on you, I really think that they might talk about Oscar. Because it's like, look, it's Nicole Kidman, but she's ugly.
Well, they're trying to make her look like Virginia Woolf.
Who cares? They didn't do that with anybody else. Did they put prosthesis?
Well, because Virginia Woolf was a real person. None of the other characters were real.
But what? So what? How many people? But let me ask you a question. How many people before seeing that movie would have any idea what Virginia Woolf actually looked like?
Anyone who's versed in literature.
They would know what she looks
completely.
Like?
Completely.
I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with that at all.
I hope we get emails for this.
No, good. Send them in. Because I don't think that most people who went to see that movie knew what Virginia Woolf looked like.
Anyone who was, you know, versed in literature knows what Virginia Woolf looks like. I'm not one of them. But, I mean, if you're going to do something like that that's that serious, you're going to be, you know, precise about the character that you're recreating for the screen.
Oh, I got to disagree with that one. I just thought that was so stupid. And I didn't see anything. The only performance in that movie that I thought was really good was actually Ed Harris, I thought was pretty good. I didn't think he was too bad.
You didn't like Julianne Moore in that movie?
I hate Julianne Moore. I don't like her in any movie.
What?
I do not like her at all.
We don't have the time to go into this.
I don't like actresses who always look like they're on the verge of tears. I can't watch them.
Oh, that's not always the case.
Yes, it is.
I'm trying to think of a movie where...
So my nightmare would be her and Neve Campbell in a movie together. Basically, with fake noses. I wouldn't like that at all. I'm sorry. I just thought that was a dreadful film. It was so boring. You know, there's another movie that I think won an Oscar that, now that I think about it, that I thought was completely boring and also technically terrible was Gosford Park.
Never saw it.
It was a period piece murder mystery where absolutely nothing happened until like the last 15 minutes of the film. And it had probably the worst sound of any film I've ever seen in my life. And it's not that old of a movie. I mean, it was done sometime in the last 10 years.
Right.
Terrible, terrible sound production. It was awful. So I didn't get that one at all. The only good thing that came out of that movie was that I think it was the first time I ever saw Clive Owen. And I swear, the first time that I saw him on screen, I'm like, oh my God, he should totally be the next James Bond. And of course, it didn't happen, but...
Right.
But I've liked him in everything I've ever seen him in. So I'm glad that he got exposure from that. All right, so I think we're done with movies, unless you have anything else to say about the Oscars.
No.
When are they on, Sunday?
Sunday.
What time?
Well, in our time zone, 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock Central. 7 Central Mountain Time, which means that they'll be on 8 o'clock Eastern and Pacific?
No, because... Oscars
live.
Is the one award show that is live.
Okay.
Right.
So it's on at 5 o'clock on the West Coast? Wow, right. That's early. All right. Well, if you work on Sunday, get someone to cover your shift. Okay. And we'll take a little break, and we'll be back in just a minute to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and I'd like to give a special shout-out to Kevin, who, while we were recording the last segment, slipped a magazine under the door for Tony about the development of Little Big Planet, so you can read all about that and talk about it next week if you want. Okay, iTunes iPhone rant of the week. The only thing I have to say is that it's been in the news this week that Flash is going to be basically on every mobile platform except for the iPhone so far.
Now, what about that talk that they were coming out with their like own kind of Flash? Like iPhone was going to have a special version of Flash.
I don't know anything about that. Where'd you read that?
I don't know. It was a long time ago.
You just made that up, didn't you?
No, I didn't make it up.
I think you just made that up. Because, you know, Microsoft has their own version of Flash called Silverlight.
Uh-huh.
But they're still going to, you know, Windows Mobile is still going to support Flash as far as I know. And Windows Mobile was, the new version of that was announced, not version 7, but version 6.5 that looks a lot different.
Well, don't you think that within the next year, a new iPhone will come out and maybe then it will support Flash?
I don't know, because if they're making so much money on the App Store and the reason that they're not doing Flash is because they don't want Flash apps that you can get to anywhere to cut into sales of the App Store apps, then they have a reason. But everybody else who has a mobile platform is talking about doing App Store type things.
Right.
And they don't care because they're not as greedy as Apple.
I don't see that would really be an issue for Apple in that Apple itself doesn't make that many apps.
Yeah, but do you know how much money they're making off the App Store right now? I think they're probably making more off the App Store than they are off the iPhone itself.
Wow.
I have no numbers to back that up, so that may be a false statistic.
It's all right,
but
we'll go with it.
That's sort of like made-up gossip, celebrity gossip, if you consider the iPhone to be a celebrity. A couple other things that I thought were kind of interesting. Fiat has said that they're going to bring the Fiat 500 and Alfa Romeo's 940 to be sold in the United States starting next year, which I think is very cool.
I don't know what that means.
The Fiat 500 was a car that they made a few decades ago, and it was kind of like the Mini but from Italy instead of from England. And they came out with a new version of it within the last, I don't know, 18 months. And it's very, very cool. It's a very cool little Italian car. You know, just a tiny little hatchback, but it looks really cool and it gets good mileage and it's got kind of a funky interior. And because Fiat and Chrysler have an agreement now, they are going to be selling the Fiat 500 and the Alfa Romeo 940 at Chrysler dealerships starting next year. And if the sales go well, then they're going to actually start manufacturing them in the U.S. in 2011, which is very cool because, first of all, they're Italian. We don't have any Italian cars really for sale unless you, you know, have the cash for a Ferrari or a Lamborghini. And they're cool cars. I mean, they're really nice looking cars. You know, Italian design is considered to be some of the best industrial design in the world. And, you know, we have very little of that available here in terms of the car market. So that's pretty cool. And I don't think the Fiat 500 would be very expensive either. I think I would hope that it would be cheaper than the Mini, which is ridiculously expensive.
Yeah, it is. Did you hear they just laid off like 30,000 people?
Oh, did they?
Again, that number, I think I'm right with that number, but I could just be pulling
that. Seems like a lot of people. Can't imagine that there are that many people that they could lay off without shutting down the company.
It was a large number. Okay. I'll just say large number.
And then another funny thing.
Don't come to us for your news.
No, at least not if you want the stats to be right, because we usually just make them up. And then another thing that I thought was hilarious. Did you hear the story about the 14-year-old girl who was arrested by the police for texting in class? Mm-hmm. I guess the teacher asked her to stop and she wouldn't. And so the teacher calls the cops and the cops arrest her. How can you even arrest a 14-year-old?
And what's the charge?
Yeah. How, is texting illegal?
I don't know. Unless she was texting in bomb threats or something.
Now, you really don't want to start that rumor. As far as we know, she was texting her boyfriend or teddy bear or something. But I don't understand how something like that happens. And this was kind of a weird thing. I got this email from Best Buy.
I got the same one.
So you know what I'm talking about. Which is interesting because I haven't said it yet. So I got this email from Best Buy about a recycling program where you could trade in your electronics and get cash back for them. So I click on the thing, and the first thing it says is this is a Best Buy partner site and is not actually Best Buy, which is weird because it looks exactly like the Best Buy website.
Right.
So I go on there, and it says, you know, I have a bunch of old audio and home theater components that I could do to get rid of.
Right.
So I go with my receiver first, and I go through the drop-down menus, and I pick the brand, and then I pick the model number, and it, you know, I go to the next screen. And after, it took me like 5 minutes because of how long it took to load these different lists and everything. And I get to the end and said, sorry, it has no trade-in value. Why was it even in the list if it has no trade-in value? I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. The only thing that's missing is the box.
Did
you try
putting other things
in? I have the remote
in?
Control. It's in perfect condition. It looks like it's brand new. No, I wasn't going to waste my time again. I spent 5 minutes for it to tell me that it wasn't going to give me any cash.
How old was the unit that you were trying to
I don't know, like
in?
10 years.
Oh, well, maybe that's the reason
but
why.
But it still has surround sound and Dolby Digital and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it doesn't have any HDMI
ports. No one wants your old crap. No one's going to pay money for your old crap.
Well, that's not what they led me to believe. That's why I was upset. They led me to believe that people would pay for
They're
my old crap.
They're hoping to get some cool stuff.
What are they going to get? Who's going to give them cool stuff?
Not you. You're just going to give them old crap.
Well, that's fine. I'm sure somebody wants old crap. Somebody bought my old tube TV like 3 months ago.
Yeah.
What are they going to do with it?
I don't know.
Doorstop? It's too big for a doorstop. Thing's friggin' huge. That's just really annoying, though. Don't make somebody go through the work. At the very least, don't include it in a list so that when somebody goes in there and says, oh, it's not in here. It must be too old. Then you don't waste part of your life. Because now I want Best Buy to give me those 5 minutes back. And I don't think that's going to happen. Okay, do you want to get into your best and worst entertainment moments of the week?
Okay, let's do it.
Start with the worst, as always, please.
My worst entertainment moment of the week, Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live.
Was it bad?
Terrible.
Really?
Terrible. And I love Alec Baldwin. Let me tell you, that Hulu commercial he does was 10 times funnier than his funniest moment on Saturday Night Live. It was
wow.
terrible. There was one sketch where he was the fourth Jonas brother.
Okay. Okay.
One sketch where he's playing Wii with his sons, and then before you know it, you know, he's playing it and it looks like he's masturbating.
Mm.
And then there's another where he's on some talk show with cougars and he's a cougay.
Aha.
Yeah.
Those well, I think you're going to have to blame the writing staff more than you are.
No, but doesn't he have some input?
I don't know. I don't know what that process is like at all.
I'd like to know what that process is like because he should. I mean, we know he's a little volatile. He should have been like, I'm not doing this crap. This is terrible.
Yeah.
None of it was funny. Well, none of
it. We'll see if we can find that out for next week. What is the process when guest hosts come on? How much say do they have in what gets done in the skits?
They have to have some say, because sometimes when they have a guest on, there'll be one episode where a guest is on and the whole episode is funny. Then another one, the whole episode is not. I attribute that to the guest.
Well, but if you think about who those guests are where the entire thing is funny, is that a person who you think every time you can, in every instance that you can think of, is that a person who you would think would have contributed to them being funny?
When it's Neil Patrick Harris.
Because I'll tell you right
that
now.
That episode was the only funny one so far this year.
Because I'll tell you right now, I remember when Lindsay Lohan was on Saturday Night Live.
It was funny.
It was hilarious. Yeah. And I can't imagine that she wrote any of that stuff.
Right. You're right. Yeah. Let's see if we can find that out.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll work on that. My worst entertainment moment of the week definitely has to be Tatiana Del Toro getting into the top 36 of American Idol. I mean, I don't care that she's crazy. I don't want to see a crazy person every week. I want to see good people singing.
What's funny about her is she was crazy last week. So then obviously someone told her to tone it down when she was on last night.
Yeah.
And then she tones it down and everyone's like, what happened? What's wrong with her?
Yeah. Which is fine. Hopefully that'll just get her kicked off. If she gets put through tonight, I'm going to be
There's no way.
You say that. But again, I don't know. I don't trust this country to do the right thing as far as American Idol is concerned. I don't know. I was very disappointed in that. Not only that she got put through, but that Jamar got cut. I thought that guy was so good.
Yeah.
And plus, it would have been kind of cool to have two, like, best buddies on the show.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a neat thing. Do you know they're from Milwaukee, those guys?
Well, I thought they met there. They met at the tryout, didn't they?
No, I think they've been friends.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they met at the tryout. I say tryout like it's cheerleading. At the audition.
For some people. You know, there's a few costumed individuals from time to time. But, yeah, the auditions. No, I think they've known each other for a long time. Yeah, I think you're thinking of the Bush baby guy. and the friend that he made while he was in line at the tryouts. Okay, what about your best entertainment?
You know, I have to be honest, I really had to search for a best entertainment moment of the week. Yeah. I don't know if it's the cold or just, you know, I don't know. But when I was thinking about how disappointed I was about Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live, I just saw this week's episode of 30 Rock. Oh, I guess it was last week's episode of 30 Rock. And I never really got into that show till this year. And it's really funny.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it takes some getting used to the way they do it, because it's not like other sitcoms.
Right.
Consistently, it's been really funny this year. And he is great on it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pick that as my best entertainment moment of the week.
Yeah, see, I just like the show in general.
Yeah, but especially there's a storyline going on right now where he's with Salma Hayek.
Okay.
And
but it's not, she doesn't play herself, right?
Or she does? No, she plays his girlfriend.
Okay.
And no, she's not Salma Hayek.
Yeah.
But it's just so out there, but it works.
Yeah. Here's some maybe made up celebrity gossip. I've heard that she's a very not nice person in real life.
Really?
Yeah. Which is disappointing. But I've heard that she's kind of snooty. And I can't even remember the source, so it may in fact be entirely made up. But that's what I've heard. I'm just saying.
We'll have to run that by legal.
Yeah. Oh, we'll have to run legal by legal. I didn't even know we had a legal. But I cannot get into that show. I've tried to watch it a few times, and I don't know what it is. I do like him a lot, but I just cannot get into that show. I don't know
why. It takes some getting used to, because it's very fast-paced, first of all, as far as the
which
comedy
I don't
goes.
Mind.
But some of the characters are a little over the top, and you can't there's a couple characters that every time they come on, I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah, and that's part of the reason for why.
Jane Krakowski.
I don't like her at all.
Yeah. I mean, this is really the only season I've watched, you know, all through.
Yeah.
But I wonder if she's that way in the earlier seasons.
I don't know. She was unlikable on Ally McBeal. And now she haunts me at the gas station because, you know, NBC has those at the Shell station. They have those, they put those little The More You Know things in between the quote-unquote entertainment at the gas station.
Uh-huh.
But for some reason, they've apparently run out of actual entertainment. So now it's just one The More You Know after another.
Uh-huh.
And she felt the need to actually sing the More You Know jingle rather than just letting it play on the marimba or whatever you usually do with it.
She's very well-rounded.
She's, well, I don't know about that because she's very skinny, but she's really annoying, I find. And I don't like people who constantly have to make a huge grin in your face. I don't see the need for that. I know that everybody's got whitened teeth now, which is hilarious on reality shows. You see that whether it's on American Idol or The Bachelor, everyone's teeth could, you know, light up Tokyo.
Right.
It's crazy. But speaking of Alec Baldwin, for Valentine's Day, Amy gave me The Hunt for Red October on Blu-ray. And I was trying to test out because we just got a Samsung Series 6 flat panel for our living room. And so I was trying to test out the Blu-ray on it, and I took this laptop home because it's got a Blu-ray player in it. And I was having some trouble with it, and it took me a while to get it all worked out and everything. But I finally got it worked out. And when I was having problems with it, I was on tech support with HP, and they said, well, see if a regular DVD will play, because I couldn't get the Blu-ray to play at all. So I put in the old DVD of The Hunt for Red October, and, you know, it was never a very good transfer.
Right.
So I figured the Blu-ray would be a little bit better. Unbelievable. Unbelievable how good that movie looks, not only on Blu-ray, but on the Samsung, and I assume any other flat panel TV that has like the 120 megahertz, picture processing.
Now you're talking about the difference between the two?
Yeah, the difference between the two, the quality. There are things that I saw just watching the first few minutes of Red October on Blu-ray that I don't remember ever noticing ever before. Right. It looks so good, but it's amazing to see Alec Baldwin in that movie. And then see him now.
Right.
He looked so young. And granted, it's, 20 years ago.
Right.
But still, oh, such a good movie. Such a good movie. That's on my all-time favorite movies list. John McTiernan, that's when John McTiernan did Die Hard, Predator, and Hunt for Red October. Those were three movies in a row that he directed. And I'm sure every studio in the world was chomping at the bit to get him to work for them. And then he did stuff like Last Action Hero and kind of screwed the pooch. Ugh. But I mean, the guy's brilliant. I don't know how you could take a story like Hunt for Red October, which has almost no action in it throughout the entire film, and make it exciting and interesting. But that's a great film.
Is that your best entertainment moment of the week?
That is not my best entertainment moment of the week. My best entertainment moment of the week is from Sarah Connor Chronicles, The Terminator.
You're still watching
that? Oh, yeah. Great show. It's gotten so good. I know that when you first started watching it.
I watched the whole first season.
Yeah, it got a lot better after that. It got a lot better after that. And there's a storyline going on right now where one of the Terminators who they finally managed to kill was, they buried it, and they were going to, it was in Mexico. So they were going to leave and then go home to get, they have this special chemical that they, that burns really hot. So whenever they find like a piece of a Terminator or something, they douse it with this chemical and then they set it on fire so that it basically melts and there will be no trace of it. So they were going to go back home to get the chemical and go back and dig it up and set it on fire, and when they get back, it's gone. Well, it's gone because the FBI, the former FBI guy, Ellison, he dug it up and took it to Miss Weaver. Now, do you remember any of that?
No.
Okay, so she runs a company, and she's a Terminator, but Ellison doesn't know she's a Terminator. She's like the liquid metal kind from T2. Uh-huh. And so what they did was now, do you remember the storyline with the Turk? Does that sound familiar?
No.
Okay. The Turk was a computer that this guy invented,
oh, the one that he invented to play chess.
To play chess, right. Yeah. And so the Turk has changed hands a lot in the course of the show, but eventually Weaver ended up with it at her company. And so what she did was she took the dead Terminator body and she hooked it up to the Turk so that now the Turk is using the body to communicate and, right, you know, manipulate objects and stuff like that. And he just sits on a chair in the room in this lab in the basement of her company. So it's not like he's out doing bad things. But she's having Ellison train him to be more human because he shut off some building system that made some guy die.
So then my question is that the beginning of the Terminator?
Well, we don't know. And what's really weird about it,
that would be clever.
It would be clever. But what's really weird about it is that I can't tell if Weaver's good or bad. She seems like she's bad because she goes around killing people left and right. But in this last episode, one of the things that was really cool was that they call him John Henry, and I forget what the reference is. I apologize for that. But they call the Terminator body John Henry. And so John Henry was, playing cards or something, whatever he does at the table when nobody's there. And Weaver walks in, and he starts talking to her, and he outs her to herself. He tells her that he knows that she's not human. And she's like, what are you talking about? He says, I noticed it when I looked in your eyes. There's nothing there. She's like, have you shared this with anyone? And he's like, no. She's like, good, don't. And he's like, okay. And so, and then he tells her about some phone call that he overheard, because I guess he's always monitoring stuff. And it was about this warehouse that Sarah had tried to break into, and she got shot. And so the warehouse had 16 tons of this metal that the Terminators are made out of. And so she goes to the warehouse and she blows it up. So I can't figure out what's going on with her. Like, she seems like she's bad, but if she's bad, why would she blow up a warehouse with 16 tons of the metal that the Terminators are made out of? So I don't know.
I don't know.
It's getting really interesting. And you know, maybe what she's doing is she's trying to prevent Skynet from being developed because she wants to be all powerful or something like that. Mm. Maybe she's got some kind of delusions of grandeur.
Who can blame her for that?
Not me. And you know who plays her?
Who?
Shirley Manson.
Oh, all right.
And yeah, not one of my favorite characters on the show, but she's good. She's good. It's very involved now. And it's often very intense. So I think you should pick it back up again.
I don't have the time.
Yeah, because you're too busy watching Millionaire Matchmaker. Yeah. Oh, dear Lord. So that was my entertainment moment of the week. The best one was John Henry outing her. Because now that makes it even that much more complex because, you know, Ellison might drag it out of him or something. And then he's going to be in a quandary because he's going to realize that, you know, he's working for a Terminator now. And he'll be all freaked out and whatnot.
I see. I didn't understand a word of what you just said.
That's fine. And that's pretty much it for my votes for best and worst entertainment moments of the week. You got anything else?
No. Oh, you know what? I do. It's another segment of Tony corrects his mistakes from last week.
Oh, no.
And I knew this.
Legal.
Accidentally called. I was about to do it again. Accidentally called Andy Samberg Adam Samberg. But, I mean, who wouldn't make that mistake?
Probably Andy Samberg, but, I'm guessing.
But I am aware it's Andy Samberg, not Adam Sandler. Samberg.
Yeah.
No, I said Adam Sandberg.
Oh, okay.
I just melded the two together.
But it's Andy?
It's Andy.
Okay.
So my apologies to him.
He's always involved in those weird short films, isn't
right.
he? Well, he does them, right? They're his movies?
I believe so.
I did like the one with him.
You know, he's got an album out.
Is it like Adam Sandler's?
Well, it's you know, the little short films they put out that are like the music videos, like,
yeah,
I don't know if I could say it, but Dick in a Box and Jizz in My Pants.
Okay.
We don't have an explicit rating.
No, and I don't want to have one, okay. So we can't say that. I'm going to beep those out later.
Okay. But, you know, he does all those little music videos, so they have him out on an album now.
Yeah.
Uncensored. Along with one of my favorite things. Did you ever see that... Natalie Portman rap?
No.
Oh.
Was it with her or about her?
With her.
Oh, okay.
She's the one doing the rap.
Was it
where
funny?
She's being interviewed and she just like, she does this rap about all she does is do drugs and how she hates everyone. And it's so funny because she's, you know, so clean cut.
Right, right.
Look for that. It's on the internet.
Yeah, you know, she's very stoic, that girl.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes this so funny.
Yeah.
But they have the whole, I mean, that's one of the selling points is that whole rap is on this album and it's uncut.
Oh, okay. But, I used to really like her, and now I can't decide. I'm kind of on the fence.
What? She's great.
Well, I used to think that, but then I saw the Star Wars prequels.
Yeah, well, I'll forgive her that.
Why? Did you see V for Vendetta?
No.
Yeah, you wouldn't be so quick to forget for that either. That movie was terrible. I still don't get that movie. And not that I don't understand what it was about.
Right.
There's just so much stuff in that movie that was so completely stupid. But at least she shaved her head for no apparent reason. I'm sorry.
Anyway,
I don't want to end on a downer. We got to think of something
happy.
We got to think of something happy to talk about before we close the show. You got anything?
Oscars on Sunday.
Oscars on Sunday. All right, everyone watch. 8 Eastern, 7 Central Mountain. Well, I guess 6 Mountain probably. Because Mountain Time's an hour behind us, right? We don't just skip 2 hours.
No.
Okay. And 5 o'clock California time. So watch the Oscars, and we will see you again next week. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.